This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
And welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. Start of the week, Monday. And here's what's going on today. Odell Beckham Jr. finally got paid. Ended up getting a five-year, $95 million total deal. 65 of it is guaranteed, so we'll be talking about that for the first segment. Second segment, we'll be talking MLB, Yankees, keep an eye on them. Six game back of the Red Sox right now. I think they just swept the Orioles, and the Red Sox actually got swept by the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa Bay's going to be good in a few years. They got a lot of good young prospects out there, but can we see maybe, what was it, a 2011, the year the Red Sox collapsed when they were in first in September? They had Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford that year. I think that was 2011. So, could we see something like that here? Possibly. We'll talk about it for the second segment. Third segment, Manu Ginobili retired. We'll talk about that. Talk about the Spurs also and anything else going on in the NBA. And then for the fourth segment, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So, that's how today's going to go. Man, let's get it started. So, Odell Beckham Jr. went about his contract negotiations a different way compared to Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald. Odell Beckham Jr. said, "I'll show up to training camp. I'm not going to play in any games to pay me, but I'll show up to training camp." Seemed like it was a move that Giants ownership was happy with. They understood and all that, why he wasn't playing. And I mean, if you're Odell Beckham Jr., you broke your ankle last season, was out for the year. Why are you going to risk it? So, he shows up to training camp. He's there for practices, but like I said, hasn't played a preseason game yet. Probably won't since preseason game four is coming up, and usually the guys who pretty much are just fighting for jobs at that point are the only ones playing. So, like I said, you got a $65 million guaranteed deal. $10 million more than Mike Evans, who's at 55. Odell Beckham Jr. isn't the most, I don't want to say that. He's a very popular player, probably the most. He's not the most well-liked player, I'd say, in the NFL. I don't have a problem with him. People look at him as if he's a diva. I don't know. I've never really seen Odell Beckham Jr. as a diva. Terrell Owens was a diva. I'd say Chad Johnson was a diva. But, I mean, what makes Odell Beckham Jr. a diva? Honestly. Is it because of the kicking net thing? I don't think that was necessarily a bad thing or anything like that. I mean, the guy was just frustrated. He's not calling out his teammates, doesn't get mad or speak out loud or anything like that if he doesn't get enough targets. Like, I don't really understand the whole Odell Beckham Jr. is a diva talk. But either way, like I said, I mentioned Mike Evans. He's $55 million in total guarantees. I'm okay with Odell Beckham Jr. getting 65. I mean, I think we can all say that, yes, Odell Beckham Jr. is a much better receiver than Mike Evans, even though Mike Evans is a very good receiver also at that point. But, I mean, for Odell Beckham Jr. to make $10 million than him, as far as guarantees, that's fine with me. I think Odell Beckham Jr. is worth the $10 million more compared to Mike Evans. So you know who's kind of happy about this deal? Actually, who should be really happy? Julio Jones. Obviously, him and the Falcons were in a bit of a standstill this offseason with their little contract negotiations, or lack of, I'd say. Julio Jones wanted a new deal, wanted more money, because everyone else has pretty much just passed him up since he signed his. Falcons said, we'll work your deal out next year. We'll give you a new deal and all that. Julio Jones says that's not good enough. He's threatened to hold out. Falcons ended up rearranging some money. I think they added some incentives to his deal. So he's happy there, and they're going to work out a deal next offseason. I mean, I think we could all say that Julio Jones is better than Odell Beckham Jr. And I think the Falcons would be inclined to believe that. And I think the stats would back him up. So, I mean, if Odell Beckham Jr. is getting $65 million guaranteed, then you got to imagine Julio Jones is going to get somewhere around 70. And, I mean, we're seeing these deals. It seems like we're kind of starting to move towards NBA-type money here. Obviously, it's not the same because it's not all guaranteed or anything like that. But you're starting to see a lot more players get a lot more money. So, Julio Jones, obviously a happy camper there. But, I mean, this is a good deal for the Giants. Odell Beckham Jr., easily probably their best receiver of all time, I'd say. Unless I'm just completely missing someone else. So, I mean, I get paying him. Plus, you're going to need a young quarterback eventually. Whether that's Davis Webb, Kyle Lauletta, or someone that you draft. And I'm sure that you want to bring that quarterback in with as much talent around him as possible. Why? Because like I say, I think quarterbacks are starting to get worse. And they need a lot more talent around them rather than like an Aaron Rodgers does or Tom Brady ever did or Peyton Manning or anything like that. And Peyton Manning actually did have decent teams. I think we kind of underrate those teams. I mean, he did have Marvin Harrison, who's a Hall of Famer. Reggie Wayne, who was very good. You think Reggie Wayne ends up in the Hall of Fame? I'm not sure. I mean, he had Joseph Addai and Andrew James there at different times, obviously, but nonetheless, very good running backs. Bob Sanders, Dwight Freeney. I mean, they did have solid players. So I do think we do kind of underrate Peyton Manning's teams. But, I mean, obviously we know what kind of quarterback Peyton Manning was. But, yeah, I think these quarterbacks coming in aren't really... There's not too many like that. I mean, there's a Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson. Guys who just immediately impact the offense and just bring in more wins. But as far as everyone else, like I said, I think they need talent around them. So it's good to keep Odell Beckham Jr. around because... Eli's only got about two more years left in him, I'd say. This year and the next. After that, I think he's done. So, good deal by the Giants. Good to keep your core players there. And I think it's a fine deal. I don't really get too much into, this player isn't worth that or anything like that. Player is worth whatever the team is willing to pay him. So, like I said, I have no problem with Odell Beckham Jr. becoming the highest paid receiver in the league. We talked about other players holding out. Aaron Donald. Looks like Aaron Donald's going to be getting a new deal, too. Seems like the Rams and him are nearing a mega deal, is what the word that's been thrown around. He'll probably, off the top of my head, I'm assuming he'll probably get $80 million guaranteed, a little bit more than whatever Von Miller's currently getting. I think the consensus is that Aaron Donald's probably the best defensive player in the league. I have no problem with that. No issue with that. So I have no problem with Aaron Donald making $80 million a year. And the Rams are kind of scaring me here. They're paying a lot of people a lot of money. Brandon Cooks just got a new deal. Todd Gurley just got a new deal. Aaron Donald's about to get a new deal. A couple of years, you'll have to give Jared Goff a new deal. And it's not like you're just giving them... rinky-dink contract. Like, no, you're gonna have to actually play these or pay these guys. So, and I mean, the Rams made a lot of trades this season, bringing in Cooks, Tlaib, Peters. You know what they gave up? Draft picks. I feel like Les Snead, the GM of the Rams, is maybe thinking short-term win now rather than long-term. Because, like I said, they giving up a lot of draft picks this offseason to get the guys that they got. And they're also paying a lot of money to everyone on that team. So we'll see. Like I said, short term, it's going to work out. I'm sure the Rams will get a Super Bowl eventually. But long term, it's kind of scary out there. And then you look at the Raiders and Khalil Mack. I mean, I've been kind of torn this offseason as far as are the Raiders going to be good? Are they going to be bad? I had no real clue about them. I think now I've come to my conclusion that they're not going to be that great this season. I mean... the fact that they're thinking about trading Khalil Mack is ridiculous. I'm not sure what it is with Oakland either, whether the lease and all that, like paying Gruden all that money they are. I think they're trying to get the city of Oakland to pay the rest of their lease in the Odell Coliseum. It seems like the Raiders could be tight on money, possibly. But either way, I mean, I just... if you have it, pay Khalil Mack. Because, I mean, I guess the guy who's up next for a contract is Amari Cooper, but if we're being real here, you look at Amari Cooper over his, what, first 3 years of his career? Is he really someone who you want to pay? Amari Cooper, I think, has done well enough for himself to not get paid like an Odell Beckham Jr., but at least get T.Y. Hilton, Keenan Allen type money, about 14, 13 mil a year. If you're the Raiders, do you really want to do that? I'm not sure. You're looking at that Pro Football Reference, looking at his stats. 2015, he was solid. 72 receptions, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. That was 2015, excuse me. 2016, he had 83 receptions, 1,100 yards, well, 1,153, and then 5 touchdowns. And then this past year, 48 receptions, 680 yards, 7 touchdowns. Only caught 50% of the balls that were thrown to him. Mark Cooper hasn't really done too much. But then again, he is your top receiver right now, unless somehow Martavis Bryant ends up getting his head back on his shoulders and pretty much is being the football player that we've seen glimpses of. So, I mean, like I said, from the Raiders, I'm not too worried about having to pay Amari Cooper. Why? He hasn't really done much for my team so far. But from the Raiders, I'm paying Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack adds wins to your schedule. So, we'll see what they end up doing. Like I said, Odell Beckham Jr. gets paid. 65 mil guaranteed, 95 total over 5 years. So, we'll see if he ends up making the most out of that contract. But either way, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Next up, we will be talking MLB, so stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about Odell Beckham Jr. getting his new contract from the Giants. 5 years, $95 million total. $65 million of it guaranteed. And I was thinking about it today. I mean, I think we've just kind of become numb to these players getting these big deals. But, I mean, imagine signing a deal where you know you're getting $65 million for sure. Like, I don't know, that's crazy to me how these guys make so much money. And I have no problem with it. I'm just thinking, like, as if I'm in Odell Beckham Jr. shoes. Like, I'm about to sign a deal where I'm basically set up for life. Not even basically, you are set up for life with this deal. I mean, the only way you really blow through that money is if you're just irresponsible with it. But I mean, that's like a dream right there, I'd say. But good on him. Khalil Mack looking for his money. See if the Raiders end up giving it to him. Also, Aaron Donald seems like the Rams will eventually. And it seems like they're getting closer, so we'll see what ends up happening. But we move on to the sport of baseball. So, the Red Sox and Yankees, we know, obviously, big rivals. You guys hate seeing them on Sunday Night Baseball once a month. But they bring in the ratings. So, these teams both started out hot this season. Red Sox, I mean, just somehow didn't hit a slump up until this point. The Yankees hit theirs this past month. Yankees ended up falling about 10.5 games back. And the Red Sox playing good baseball. Now it's 6 games. Yankees are making a bit of a comeback. I'm not going to go out and say that, oh yeah, they're going to catch the Sox and all that, because I mean, reality, the only way the Yankees end up catching Boston is if it's like an all-time collapse from the Red Sox. And that could happen, no doubt. But it just seems like from John Farrell to now Alex Cora is like, he just has a better grip on this team. It's just night and day type difference. It just didn't seem like the players and John Farrell really connected. Alex Cora, it seems like, I don't know, there's just something about Alex Cora managing that Red Sox team. It's just like, they don't really panic or anything like that. They know you go through ups and downs or whatnot. But I mean, you're looking at the Yankees, they're doing this without Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, and I hate saying Gary Sanchez because, I mean, he hasn't really done anything this season, but I guess he is a big part of that team. And then they just got Didi Gregorius on the DL. And this is why, folks, you invest in your farm system, meaning bring in top prospects. Because before, we would have seen the Yankees basically buy whoever for however much and go from there. The Red Sox were actually a team who really invested in their farm system. Now they've kind of switched roles, which is kind of weird. But either way, I mean, the Yankees got one of the best farm systems in the league. That's why they're doing so well still, because they know how to develop their prospects. Guys like Gleyber Torres, I mean, Aaron Judge was a rookie last year. Gary Sanchez, those guys are like, these guys are all young. Like, this isn't like a veteran Yankees team, and I think we forget that. This Yankees team is all full of first, second year players, guys who have only been around for a tiny bit. I mean, there's no seasoned vet out there. And I'd say the seasoned vets that they got are probably on the bottom of the barrel as far as talent on their team. So, Yankees are going to be good for a while. And I guess, well, not I guess, but I brought up the farm system because, like I said, that's why they're playing so well still. They can afford to lose a guy like Judge, as crazy as it sounds, and still be fine. I mean, when Judge was there, they were more games back. And I'm not saying Aaron Judge is bad for the Yankees or anything like that. Please don't take it that way. So, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, like I said, you look back at 2011 for the Red Sox, and I mean, we're, what, 7-8 years, seasons past that? Much different team, but history tends to repeat itself. Is that the saying? I'm not sure if that is the saying, but I mean, I said it. And the Red Sox, they got a tough September coming up. I think they got to play the Yankees at the end of the season. You got to play the Indians, the Astros, and I think there's one other team that they got to play. It might be an NL team. I can't remember exactly. So it's going to be tough. The Yankees got a bit of a, I don't want to say cakewalk, but not as tough as the Red Sox this September. So, I mean, you got Boston losing 3 in a row to the Rays. And actually, let's see what Boston has done in their last 10, because they really haven't looked great as of late. Against the Indians, I think they split, if I remember correctly. Before that, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Rays, and then here they got swept. So they're 4-6 in their last 10, lost 3 in a row, like I said. Yankees 8-2 in their last 10, won 4 in a row. Tampa Bay, like I said also, they're going to be a very good team. They're 9 games over .500, and I don't think we realize that. I mean, we've been so infatuated with the Red Sox and Yankees in the AL East, top two teams, obviously. So, I mean, why wouldn't you talk about them? But like I said, no one's really paid attention to the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, they traded away Chris Archer and have gotten better as Chris Archer has gotten worse with the Pirates. And it is, like, crazy how there's always one team who ends up trading for, like, a top player, and it never seems to work out. There's always one team that happens to them. It just so happened that this year it was Pittsburgh. So, we'll see what ends up happening in that division. But like I said, right now, Yankees six games back of Boston. 1-4 in a row, 8-2 in their last 10. And what kills the Yankees is the fact that they struggled so much early on in the season to beat the Orioles, team like the Orioles, teams like the Rays. They struggled to beat the teams that they were supposed to. If they do that, they're right up there with Boston. They're having a historic season like Boston if they do that. But, I mean, they didn't. So now they dug themselves a bit of a hole, but seem to be crawling out of that hole. Like I said, I'm not going to go out and say, oh yeah, the Yankees are going to take the AL East because it's still 6 games and we got a month left. But, I mean, we've seen it happen before. And was it the Yankees who won the division in 2011, the year the Red Sox collapsed, or was it like the Orioles, I believe? I think it might have been the Orioles. I know the game that the Red Sox lost, which took him out of it, was against the Orioles, but I can't remember exactly who ended up winning the division that year. So there's that. You look at the AL West, one of the better divisional races in the league. The A's still a game and a half back of the Houston Astros. They're going to be starting up their series tonight. Sean Manaea of the A's, pitcher for them, hit the DL. And that's one thing this team has had to deal with all season long. Guys just hitting the DL all year long, especially the pitchers too. I think they've had about six or seven starting pitchers hit the DL this season. It's kind of ridiculous how well the A's have done this season, given all the guys they've had end up on the DL. I mean, you normally don't see this, and especially considering how bad the A's have looked the last few years, you wouldn't have expected it either. So, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening. Like I said, they got their game going on tonight. But as of right now, I'd say that maybe the Astros end up taking that division. I like the A's, but it just doesn't seem like it's going to end up happening. I think the Astros are just too good of a team right now. But the A's got Brett Anderson going tonight, and then the Astros got Garrett Cole. So we'll see what ends up happening. Let's see, any other news to get into before we look at Sunday's scores and look at today's games? Let's check it out. Cubs are, what, 5-0 since Daniel Murphy's got there? He's been hitting the ball well. Cubs are a bit of a scary team there. I mean, everyone's been focusing on the AL teams, the Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, Indians, and A's, but no one's really been talking about Chicago. Kendrys Morales has hit seven home runs in seven straight games. He's hit a home run in seven straight games. Kendrys Morales is more like, he's like a Nelson Cruz, one of those guys who, I mean, they're old players now, but they just know how to flat on hit. Matt Carpenter's been on fire for the Cardinals, and I can't believe the Cardinals have completely turned around this season. I mean, I figured it was over once they fired Matheny, kind of waved the white flag, but this team has seemingly got better and better as each week has gone on. So, I think that's pretty much it. Let's check yesterday's scores, and then we'll look at what's going on for today's series starting up. So, Sunday, we had the Phillies beating the Blue Jays 8-3. White Sox beat the Tigers 7-2. Nationals beat the Mets 15-0. I mean, is anyone surprised by that scoreline right there? Braves beat the Marlins 4-0. Rays beat the Red Sox 9-1. Brewers beat the Pirates 7-4. A's beat the Twins 6-2. Indians beat the Royals 12-5. Cubs beat the Reds 9-0. Cardinals beat the Rockies 12-3. Giants beat the Rangers 3-1. Astros beat the Angels 3-1 also. Dodgers beat the Padres 7-3. Diamondbacks beat the Mariners 5-2. And then you had the Yankees beating the Orioles 5-3. So let's check what's going on for tonight's games. You got the Yankees and White Sox starting up a series today in New York. Blue Jays going up against the Orioles. Washington versus the Phillies. Let's see, you got the A's starting up with the Astros. Mets, Cubs. This is one the Mets could end up taking here. I mean, John Lester's pitching for the Cubs, but so is Syndergaard for the Mets. So, and that's absolutely ridiculous how bad they've been when DeGrom ends up pitching. I know that's opposite from what I was talking about right now, but I mean, it's honestly ridiculous. You got the Rockies and Angels playing, and then the Diamondbacks and Giants. So those are the games going on tonight. Take a little look at the updated standings. Like I said, Red Sox up six games on the Yankees. Indians, I mean, officially haven't clinched their division, but we all know who's winning that one. Astros up a game and a half on the A's. 6.5 up on the Mariners. The Mariners just completely fell off. And I mean, looking at the Mariners, I always thought they were kind of overhyped this season. Just considering, I mean, you looked at the run differential right now, it's at a minus 42. It's always been negative, even when they had that second wildcard spot. Looking at the NL East, the Braves are up three games on the Phillies. Done well to kind of keep that distance between them. Cubs are up four on the St. Louis Cardinals, 4.5 up on the Brewers. Diamondbacks are up a game on the Rockies, 2.5 up on the Dodgers. So let's take a look at the wildcard races going on in both leagues. You got the Yankees 4.5 up on the A's. A's 5 up on the Mariners. Looking at the National League, Cardinals up a game and a half on the Brewers for that top spot. Brewers a game up on the Rockies for that second wildcard spot. 2 games up on the Phillies, and then 2.5 up on the Dodgers. So we'll see how it all plays out. Either way, we're going to move on. Next segment, we will be talking about Manu Ginobili, the Spurs, and anything else going on in the NBA. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com. gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we've talked about Odell Beckham Jr. getting paid by the Giants. And that last segment, we talked about a lot about the Red Sox and Yankees in the AL East. Right now, the Yankees only 6 games back of the Red Sox after, what, 4 days ago they were back 10.5? Something like that. I mean, we've seen Boston collapse before, so we'll see if it ends up happening here. But now we move on to the NBA. Let's do something real quick. This is a bit for fun here, but player A averaged 13 points a game, 3.5 rebounds per game, nearly 4 assists. Shot 44% from the field, 37 from 3, 82, 83 from the free throw line if you're rounding up. Player B averaged 19 points, 3 rebounds, nearly 8 assists, shot 43% from the field, 32.5 from 3, 78 from the free throw line. Stats pretty similar there. Player A shooting a little bit better, but I just compared Manu Ginobili and Stephon Marbury. Stats courtesy of Basketball Reference. Manu Ginobili is going to be retiring, and I think that everyone is calling him a Hall of Famer, but is he? I mean, I hate to be that guy, but he's a 2-time All-Star. So was Marbury. 2-time All-NBA team. So was Marbury. Let's see. Made the All-Rookie team. So did Marbury. And I get that you take into account championships. And I hate that I'm doing this, but I feel like I need to. And I feel like I really am going against what everyone else says. But I mean, Ginobili played with Duncan and Parker. Duncan's the reason why they won all those championships. And yes, Ginobili did help. I'm not saying he didn't, but I'm really saying some things here, and I might just get yelled at for it. But Ginobili just kind of seems like a role player, if we're being real here. I mean, like I said, he averaged 13 points over his career. His best season, he averaged 19.5, and that was back in 2007. You look at Marbury, the most he ever averaged in his career was, in a season, was 23.4, or actually nearly 24 a game. Averaged 23.9 in 2000 with the New Jersey Nets. And I mean, was basically about 15 to 20 points per game over the course of his career. I think I am. If Ginobili's a Hall of Famer, so is Stephon Marbury. And I guess, like, I have to take into account the championships and all that, and that's probably why Marbury will never get in and Ginobili will. But, I mean, on the surface, they're fairly similar players. Honestly. I mean, like I said, both made the All-Star team twice. Both made the All-NBA team twice. Both made their All-Rookie team. The only thing that Ginobili has over Marbury is 4 titles, courtesy of Tim Duncan and co. Again, Ginobili did contribute, but Duncan's not on that team. They don't win a thing. And he's got a 6th Man of the Year award. Marbury was never a 6th man. And like I said, I'm not necessarily saying that Marbury should get in the Hall of Fame, but it's kind of one of those where, like, the Basketball Hall of Fame lets in everyone. I can't believe I'm doing this the day Ginobili retires, but someone's got to, right? I mean, you look at it, like I said, we're going to put a 13-point-per-game guy in the Hall of Fame? This is rough. Everyone literally thinks the guy's a Hall of Famer, but I guess I got to be the one who goes against it. I mean, looking at it, he came into the league in 2002, averaged 7 points per game that year, 12 the next, well, nearly 13 the next, 16 in 2004. I mean, Ginobili's always been a role player. He's always been an off-the-bench guy. He's never started more than, well, except for one season, he's never started more than, what, 60 games? Actually, two seasons, 2004 and 2010. Those were the only years he started more than 60 games. Other than that, it was always less than that. Second, third highest was 56. I mean, come on now. Am I wrong? Not necessarily. I get that we like to prop up Manu Ginobili, and I have no problem with it. I think he was a very good player, but the guy was a role player. He really was. People say he might be a top 5, top 6, top 10, whatever, shooting guard. Shooting guard position has never been that great, for being real here. You got MJ, Kobe, Wade, after that, take your pick at whoever. And I'm not trying to discredit what Ginobili brought to this team, but like I said, we're going to put a off-the-bench guy, a role player, into the Hall of Fame. I get everyone likes Manu Ginobili. I do too. I think he was a great player. But someone's gotta bring this up. And I mean, you look at it, 2010, he averaged 17.4 a game. 2011, he averaged 13. The next year, he averaged 12. Year after that, averaged 12 again. Then 10. And then he's been in single digits the last 3 years. I mean, am I wrong about this? No. I think the only thing that's getting Ginobili into the Hall of Fame is the fact that he's got titles. If he didn't have titles, he's just Manu Ginobili. So, I'm not necessarily saying that Stephon Marbury is better or anything like that. But, let's see, did Marbury play longer? Marbury came into the league about 1996, was about, including that season, 13 seasons in the NBA. Ginobili came in 2002. So yeah, Ginobili's played about, what, 15 seasons, 16 seasons? And like I said, Marbury did well to maintain a high, decent amount of points per game. Worst season was with Boston, where he only played 23 games. So, I mean, that's kind of a throwaway season. He only played 24 in 2007. 2006, he started and played 74, averaged 16.4 points per game that year. Like I said, I don't necessarily think that Marbury's better, but Ginobili's a Hall of Famer, then how is not Marbury? And if the championships are what gets Ginobili over, then I understand that. But if you're looking at it at the surface, I mean, stats aren't necessarily too far off. And this could just end up being a hot take by me, and I just don't know it. But like I said, the guy was a role player his entire career. So, I mean, I have no problem with him getting into the Hall of Fame, but I'm just saying. So let's see, anything else going on in the NBA? I mean, I think that's pretty much all the notable news that's going on right now. I mean, we've had Jimmy Butler. He's been linked to the Lakers now, report. And we might have talked about it on Friday, but report from Bleacher Report talking about how he'd like to team up with LeBron in L.A. I mean, we've seen New York and L.A., so I'm not really sure where the guy's going to go. But I think he'd do fine on either team. I think if he goes to New York, Kyrie's going with him. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for Jimmy Butler to go there by himself. I get they got Porzingis there, but that's still not a good enough team to compete in the East. If you were to go west out to LA, that's a team who can maybe take a couple games from the Warriors in a playoff series. I mean, basically all you need in the NBA now is just two superstars. You got two superstars, they're going to do well. Jimmy Butler could be the second superstar there. Sorry, Laker fans, but it's not Lonzo Ingram. It's not yet him, and it's not going to be Kuzma. So, I mean, Jimmy Butler going there would be decent. Will there be a possibility for the Lakers to sign both Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard in the offseason next year? I don't think so, given that you got LeBron on a nice little deal right there. But I mean, if the Lakers were to somehow pull that off, like I said, not sure how they do, but if they somehow did, that'd be something. That would put them on par with the Warriors, I think, if you add Jimmy Butler and Kawhi. both Kawhi and LeBron are top five players. Jimmy Butler, I wouldn't say is a top five player. He might be top 10, top 15 for sure. So, I mean, the workout, it's basically what the Warriors got right now, except they got a fourth. You got two top five players at Golden State. Klay, top 15, and so is Draymond. Like I said, it put them on par. So I think that's all I got for the NBA. Again, might have been a hot take, me saying that Stephon Marbury could have been better than Manu Ginobili. I mean, they've had fairly similar careers. So just think about it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm fine with that. But just think about it. So that's all I got to say about that. Next up, we'll be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
So, remember how everyone was basically killing Urban Meyer about the fact that, well, I mean, Ohio State too, about the fact that at that press conference they held last week, no one sitting up at that podium or desk table, whatever you want to call it, seemed rather interested in what they were talking about and didn't seem to care about what was going on, right? I mean, they got destroyed for it. And I mean, Urban Meyer was one of the biggest problems of that press conference. I mean, you could tell Urban Meyer didn't want to be there, didn't think he needed to be there. So on Friday, Urban Meyer released a statement saying how his words, and he says, let me read a statement actually. Urban Meyer's statement from his Twitter account on Friday. My words and demeanor on Wednesday did not show how seriously I take relationship violence. I sincerely apologize. I was taught at a very young age that if I ever hit a woman, I would be kicked out of the house and never welcomed back. I have the same rule in my house and in the football program at Ohio State. Over the years, we have worked hard to educate and remind our coaches and players of seriousness of relationship violence. I understand my lack of more action in this situation has raised concerns about this commitment. I once again apologize for this, and I extend my empathy to all women, men, and families who are affected by relationship violence. This has been a real learning experience for me. I fully intend to use my voice more effectively to be a part of the solution. Let me say here and now that I should have said what I should have said on Wednesday. I sincerely apologize to Courtney Smith and her children for what they have gone through. End of this statement, again, from Urban Meyer on Friday, tweeted out by his Twitter account. I mean, this was basically the save face here from that press conference. And he says he has that rule about no tolerance and all that for domestic abuse and all that on his team. Then why did you bring Zach Smith on? Why did you let Ohio State hire him if he had a prior incident back when you guys were in Florida? What sense does that make? It doesn't. The statement right here is basically him just trying to, like I said, just save face. I mean, he knows how he felt on at that press conference is how he really feels. And that's just my opinion. Let that be stated. Okay, I think that what he showed at the press conference is how he really feels. That's what I think. I could be wrong. I don't know Urban Meyer personally. But, I mean, I think him putting out a statement like this just makes things worse. And that's what it kind of seemed like. I mean, it's just one where it's like, really? We all saw what you did, how you were on Wednesday. Come on now. And, I mean, like I said, this guy says that he doesn't tolerate domestic abuse or whatever, and he'll kick anyone off his team. Again, you let them hire Zach Smith. Was that a new rule or something? I'm not sure. And the statement isn't really big news or anything like that, just something I wanted to bring up. I remember as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, brother, what do we have here? I mean, I guess you kind of had to have figured that Urban Meyer was going to release something like that, because, like I said, the dude was absolutely getting destroyed after that press conference. And rightfully so. I mean, at least fake it. Again, that's not really much better, but at least you're showing, I guess, that you pretending to care. Media wouldn't really be on you as much. But I don't know. Urban Meyer, not necessarily one of my favorite coaches. I wouldn't say he is even close to being one. I mean, the guy's had problems at Florida. He's had problems here. And it seems like if you're going place to place and there seems to be problems everywhere you end up, that's not necessarily great. I mean, if you look at that Florida team back then, I mean, absolute anarchy being ran there. If you do research on some of the stories coming out of there, it's crazy. But either way, we move on from that. Tom Brady was on the radio station WEEI. He does a weekly little Monday appearance in the morning. He's a little interview. He was asked about Alex Guerrero. Why was he asked about Alex Guerrero? He was asked because Alex Guerrero actually traveled with the team on their team plane recently. So, I mean, obviously, given the story ESPN put out last season, that's news. Tom Brady wasn't too happy about the fact that he was asked about those questions. They asked him about it. Tom Brady stated he didn't want to talk about it. Then they followed up with a couple more questions, and Tom Brady just ended it. It was over. I don't understand why Tom Brady gets a pass for this stuff. It seems that whenever athletes are not cooperative with the media, it seems to be a big problem. But when Brady's not, it's not a problem. I mean, what is like Brady's a smart guy. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. Brady's a smart guy. Brady should know that this Alex Guerrero thing, even if he doesn't want it to, it's a story. I mean, if you want to blame ESPN for that, go ahead. But either way, Alex Guerrero and the Patriots are a story, and they will be until Tom Brady retires. So I feel like if the guys from WEEI want to ask Tom Brady about Alex Guerrero, they should be able to. And if you're Tom Brady, how about we don't stop the interview? How about you just throw out a no comment, and a no comment? Because that shows them I don't have any comments about this. Of course, they got to get their follow-up questions. Because it's possible they were told by their bosses, hey, ask him about the Aguero thing. He's probably going to be sighing about it. But be persistent. Those guys were just doing their jobs. So, I mean, with Brady leaving the interview, that's a bit, dare I say it, diva-ish. I mean, you honestly could make the argument that Tom Brady is more of a diva than Odell Beckham Jr. And you might think I'm crazy, but if you think hard enough about it, he could be. So, I mean, me personally, I don't have a problem with Tom Brady ending his interview, cutting it short or whatever, mainly because, I mean, I don't care about it really. But it is a bit of it is something to bring up. And this isn't the first time that he has walked out on an interview or just abruptly ended an interview. He's done it before. Tom Brady just doesn't like questions about his relationship with Belichick, and he doesn't like questions about his relationship with Guerrero or Guerrero's relationship with the team. And Alex Guerrero kind of came back in the spotlight once Julian Edelman got suspended 4 games for PEDs. I'm not saying that's Guerrero's fault or anything like that, but, I mean, Julian Edelman does train at the TB12 Center. You can think whatever you want of that. I'm not saying he does it or anything like that, but, like I said, you come up with your own thoughts. So let's see, anything else going on in the world of sports? Manchester United, we're going to head over to soccer real quick. Manchester United need to get rid of Jose Mourinho. I mean, there's no point in keeping him around any longer. They played Tottenham today at Old Trafford and absolutely got destroyed. Lost 3-0 to Tottenham. And I mean, I was watching the first half of that game. Caught the second half also as I was recording this. I mean, starting out the game, United looked good. They were pressing high. Tottenham had no answer whatsoever to what United was doing. Tottenham couldn't move the ball past half field. United even had a real decent shot to score a goal. open net for Lukaku, but it just seems that he just didn't. I don't know. I don't know how he didn't score that goal, honestly. I mean, it was an open net, and he just kicked it across. I don't get how he doesn't score there. But either way, you got two goals from Lucas Moura, who has done pretty well to start this season. Last year, he was bought by Tottenham, didn't really do too much, but it seems like now he's starting to come into form with them. Harry Kane scored his second goal in August, I think it is. Might be his third. I think it might be his first at Old Trafford, though. So, I mean, you look at Tottenham, there's a lot of talk about them not bringing in any summer transfers, buying any players, but they've done well so far. 3 games, 3 wins, 8 goals scored, 2 goals given up. Currently in the second position. I mean, look at that top five, or top four. Liverpool, I think we were okay with seeing them up there. I think we all expected that. And again, this is after 3 games, so I'm not really making too much about this. But Liverpool scored 7 goals, haven't given up 1 yet. I already talked about Tottenham. You got Chelsea in third. They've looked really good. 9 points, 8 goals scored, 3 given up. Watford, 3 wins out of 3 matches, 7 goals scored, 2 given up, 9 points. And then you got City, who drew with Wolves, actually, this past weekend. Wolves actually got a decent team. I'll give them that. City's got 7 points, 9 goals scored, 2 goals given up, 2 wins and a draw. And then you got United over there on the, in the 13th spot currently. 1 win, 2 losses, scored 4, given up 7, only 3 points. I mean, like I said, I think it's time to get rid of Mourinho. United aren't going to get any better than, with him this season. If he sticks around for the entire season, they won't make Champions League, and it's a bit out there, but you could even say you're not even sure if they make Europa League. I mean, they've looked that bad so far. Again, we'll see what ends up happening, but I think the right decision to make here is to get rid of him. So that's all I got to say about that. We're going to wrap it up here for today. Today we talked Odell Beckham Jr. We talked baseball. We talked Manu Ginobili. I had a bit of a hot take there. And then for this segment, we talked about a couple of other different sports topics. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.